I'm used to starting church at 11, so I'm trying to calculate how much time I got. I don't think I got a lot. That was wonderful. Thank you, Danny and Heidi. We're so happy that you're here. And in all seriousness, I told the praise team this morning to please take all the time that you needed today. And so very grateful. Back in 2007, I did a series of 14 sermons. I went back and counted it on the Lord's Prayer. And I can say to you very honestly, in the 9 years since then, I have used the Lord's Prayer more than once every single week of my life. I think it is a prayer infinitely worthy to saturate our praying together. So we finished the Beatitudes a couple of weeks ago. We're fast moving toward Advent season. And I thought to myself, well, 14's too many. But maybe we can just do a little short series of sermons through this magnificent prayer. Would you go along with me? Would you be willing to hear what comes from the heart of Jesus across his lips, what he values in prayer, to pray for your children, your grandchildren, your fellow believers, for the whole world, that his name would be hallowed and his kingdom would advance. It's well worth our time, don't you think? So I hope you'll come along with me. And remember, it comes from Jesus himself. And if you look at his life, it was a blaze of prayer. When the Lord Jesus goes into the waters of the Jordan to be baptized, and as the Holy Spirit himself descends as a dove, Jesus prays. Early in his ministry, as Jesus is ready to select from his larger group of disciples a smaller band, we're told he stays up all night. All night! And he prays, and then the next day he makes his selection. Then the Lord is there at Caesarea Philippi. There is a question mark in the culture of his day as to who he is. And while he's praying, he breaks off from his intercession and he asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" But he asks that question in the context of prayer. And then there's that moment when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration and his divine glory and deity breaks through his humanity as though Emmanuel, God with us, veiled in flesh, it cannot handle it. And the glory of Christ comes crashing through and the disciples say, "Let's just stay here forever." He was praying when the Transfiguration happened. And then, of course, we go to Gethsemane, where he is there before his Father. He's praying, "Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me." But the Father made Jesus drink the cup of wrath to its bitter dregs so that we would never have to drink it. And even on the cross, he's praying, "Father, forgive them." And the last sentence on the cross was, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And these are not little isolated moments of Jesus praying, but Luke 5 verse 16 says Jesus often withdrew to desolate places and prayed. He was a praying Jesus, a praying Jesus. And so you turn to Luke chapter 11 verse 1 and you read, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place." There he is praying again. "And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples.' 'It's the common practice of rabbis, Jesus. Even John the Baptist did it, to teach their followers how to pray and what to say. It's nature and it's necessity. Oh, Jesus, we see that you value this spiritual exercise so intensely. Lord, teach us to pray. And that request is given in the context of actually watching Jesus pray. It can only mean the disciples were very conscious that Jesus was good at it. They were jealous of his prayer life, sensitive to his intimacy with the Father. These disciples were very much aware of the fact that Jesus' power flowed from his times of solitude with God the Father in prayer. And so they come to him and they say to him, Lord Jesus Christ, teach us to pray. Isn't that a good thing to ask Jesus? He is qualified for it, no doubt. Think for a moment. And let's be honest, many of us feel inadequate. We feel the poverty of our praying. Many of us are ashamed of our all too many prayerless days when it comes to praying. Most of us would admit, well, I just feel like a novice. Especially comparing ourselves to someone else who's really good at it. My grandfather was really good at it. And I've been trying to catch up with him for years. I haven't gotten there. You feel like inadequate, a novice, and how dare a pastor go a prayerless day? It is a big sin. I've had prayerless days, have you? And so these disciples don't balk. They go to this one they know is good at it, and they say, Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Will you do that, and will I, and will we as a church? Be so dependent on Jesus and listen to him. And if you are really listening to Jesus, he has no new answer to give. No fresh insight to give that equals what we have here. In other words, if you're really listening to Jesus, you will hear him say, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Luke's version that we read earlier is shorter. I quoted for you Matthew's version. It's found in both places, Luke 11 and Matthew 6. It is the way Jesus answers the question. It is the way Jesus responds to the request. Lord, teach us to pray. From his heart, across his lips, are these magnificent petitions. And so it is right to ask the question. Do these petitions, and especially what they mean, do these things shape and inform and inspire our communion with God in praise and intercession? So I invite you on this short journey to consider the prayer of the Lord. For the sake of time, let me tell you, or let me remind us, I should say, of the value of the Lord's Prayer. It's worth to us as a people. It is such a simple prayer, but oh, is it valuable. And one reason is simply because the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. We ought to know this just by looking at it. You can quote this prayer in 23 seconds. It will take a lifetime to master. It's a pattern prayer. It's an agenda for prayer. We are to take up each petition of the Lord's Prayer and expand on it in our own words. One reason we know that is take, for example, the petition where we pray, forgive us our sins. forwards. But if you go to the Psalter, there are a whole host of Psalms that embellish what it means to confess our sin to God and ask Him to forgive us. Hallowed be your name. Oh God, may your name be cherished and praised and valued as supreme. May we treat it as holy. And the Psalter is filled with Psalms hallowing and glorifying the great name of God. So these petitions are there as a pattern, an agenda, a model. We pick up each one and expand on it. Think of it as a skeleton prayer. You know, you're supposed to give a speech, a rather long speech, not unlike a sermon. And so you don't sit down and write out a manuscript and try to memorize it. I did that a few times. Tragedy. Instead, you study what you want to say. You master the text, and then you create headings, or what we might call a skeleton or a bone structure. And then when you stand up to deliver your message, you flesh out the skeleton, the bone structure, with your own words. That's what we have here. It's not a script to be quoted. It's a skeleton to be fleshed out, you see. And Jesus is giving us these petitions so that we can fully express what matters most as we talk to our Heavenly Father. It's a model prayer. There's something else about this prayer. It's a prayer you can offer in Jesus' name. You know how it is, we like to say it at the end of our prayers, don't we? In Jesus' name, amen. Nowhere are we commanded to do that in the Bible, by the way, but I don't plan on stopping the practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Where did it come from? Who is the one who gave us the name of Jesus to use in prayer? Well, Jesus himself did, of course. Now think, if Jesus gave us this prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, pray along these lines. And he gave us his name to use in prayer. Can we not put those two truths together and say the prayer that crossed Jesus' lips is a prayer we can always fasten the name of Jesus to? Right? Now think about it. Jesus says some amazing things about praying in his name. For the sake of time, let me just read them to you in John 14, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So ask in my name, I'll do it, and the Father gets glory. He gets praise. When the Father answers prayer in Jesus' name, the answer that is received and fleshed out in your life and lived before the world brings glory to the Father. But then he changes it a little bit. In John 16, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Oh, this time, ask and the Father will answer in Jesus' name. He gets the glory and you get drudgery. No, you get the what? The joy. The Father is glorified, and his answers in our lives are the most joy-creating answers you can possibly imagine. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name, amen. The name of Jesus in Scripture is the sum total of his character. You might say, name equals nature. So to pray in the name of Jesus is to pray for what is consistent with his name, what honors his character, what is worthy of his person, of his name. It is in the name of Jesus that governs. Ask whatever you will. $1 million and a Cadillac. Or at least that college football would end at 11 instead of 12. That's just ridiculous. These are not the sort of things that glorify the Father and bring us joy. Anything you ask that's consistent with the name and nature and the glory of Jesus, you know what brings glory to the name of Jesus? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today. These are the things that the heart of Jesus values. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray for all that is consistent with His sovereign and wise and generous nature. It is to pray for all that He really cares about, and He cares about these petitions. Brothers and sisters, this is marvelous that we can plead the name of Jesus. I was reminded of that just before coming into this pulpit. Someone came up and pled the name of Jesus over and over, saying the mighty name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus. And that's what He gives us to do. Glorify your name. Praying the name of Jesus. But to pray what in His name? These great petitions. One theologian said, when a believer faithfully uses the name of Jesus in prayer, the Father can let that prayer walk right through the throne room of heaven and up to His very heart, for He hears the voice of His beloved Son in its tones. Hallowed be your name. That sounds like my Son. Your kingdom, that sounds like my beloved Son. Give us today our daily bread. That sounds like your crucified Lord. And we put His name to it, right? So it's a model prayer. It's a prayer we can offer in Jesus' name. And there is something else here. It is a prayer for a God-focused life. It is a prayer for a God-dependent life. I used to think, oh, there are 6 petitions, 3 are God-focused and 3 are man-focused. Wrong. There are 6 petitions, they're all God-focused. Every single one of them is God-focused. Our Father in heaven, that's the fatherhood of God. Hallowed be your name, that's the holiness of God. Your kingdom of come, that's the rule of God. Your will be done, that's the truth of God. Give us this day our daily bread, that's the provision of God. Forgive us our sins, that's the grace of God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the sovereign guidance of God. It is God-focused in every possible way. There's a way to illustrate this. We pray about God's name, that it be treated as holy, that His kingdom come, that His rule be submitted to, and His kingdom advance, that His will be done with swiftness and joy, like the angels always do it in heaven, and then we hit the brakes and say, give us bread to eat. Why put that there? Maybe because we need to be sustained in this world with sufficient strength so that we can live for the glory of God's name and kingdom and will. We even need the provision of God to sustain us so that we honor His name, advance His kingdom, and accomplish His will. And oh yes, we need forgiveness too, so that nothing interrupts our honoring of His name. And we need deliverance from evil, and the evil one from Satan and demonic forces. Why? So that we can live for the glory of His name, the good of His kingdom, and the doing of His will. The whole prayer is a pleading for us to live a God-focused, God-saturated, God-dependent life. It's like us saying, oh God, give me everything I need today to joyously and faithfully live to bring You glory
in this world. Well, for the sake of time, I need to move on. But let me remind you of something so simple. The one who gives us this prayer is Jesus. And the one who speaks this prayer is the one who will go to the cross. That's no little thing. Think about it. The God who gives us this prayer goes to the cross and takes our sin upon Himself and endures justice that we might go free in grace, so that every single day of our lives we can look up to heaven and say, "Our Father." Not our judge. Not some distant deity that wishes no intimacy with us, but to say, "Father, did you know prayer is a blood-purchased privilege?" It's a blood-purchased privilege. To make this prayer effectual, the Lord Jesus must go to the cross. And so when we pray in His name, it is the name of the one who spilt His blood so that the Father, when He answers prayer, gets glory and we get joy. Well, I'll just quit. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, so very much that in your heart, overwhelmingly filled with love, you would come into this world and not only through your Son save us and forgive us, but even then you had every right to treat us with a sort of cool indifference. It cost you so much and it's so free for us. But no, you just lavish your love on us to such an extent that you're willing to hear our feeble petitions. And you're willing to infuse us with such grace that you will answer our prayers. And you don't leave us to our own foolishness to figure out what ought to shape our prayer, what we ought to value in praying and intercession. You give us a good agenda, a wise one, a pattern to follow. Certainly in this Lord's Prayer and in other prayers in the Bible as well, but here, from the heart of Jesus across His lips. So, Father, by grace, by the interceding Holy Spirit Himself who lives in us, we say together, Lord, teach us to pray. And we say it in Jesus' name, in the strong, precious name of Jesus. Amen.